Welcome. It is good to be here together. If you are visiting today, thank you for being a part of our Sunday gathering. My name is Travis Sharp, if you don't know me, and if you're not used to being here, I am not the main speaker, so please come back next week. Chris will be back speaking, and that will be a treat, so please be here for that. If you have your Bibles today, Jeremiah 33 is where we're at. Jeremiah 33, starting at verse 14. It's one of our lectionary readings for today. The Word of the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and also my favorite time of the year. For many years, it was my favorite time to preach through the entire year. And so I'm always grateful when given the chance to speak around Advent. So I'm thankful for Chris giving up one of his weeks and allowing me to share a message from the Lord to you today. It also happens to be December 1st today, right? So no matter where you stand on the whole calendar issue of do you put up the Christmas tree before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, or do you have to wait till December, we're all together now, right? We are all in that moment. It is officially the Christmas season because it's December 1st. Now, there's probably a couple of you who are still like, you can't put the tree up until the 24th. That's okay. You're allowed to be here too, right? But we're all kind of in that place. In case you haven't heard, I've been told that Santa is making a special visit here on Saturday to take pictures with the children and some of the adults. It's very kind of Santa, so thank you, Santa, for coming to do that. If you want to see Santa, he's making just a few-hour trip here on Saturday. If your children participate in some of the Advent calendars, you can find all kinds of them. I saw one while we were out shopping the other day that was facial products or lip glosses or socks. Right, Bennett, for 5, 6, 7 years, I don't even remember how many, has done a Star Wars Advent calendar Lego. So he gets to combine Lego and Star Wars, like his two favorite things besides God. And he gets to open those, and those are always fun. We haven't gotten it out yet today. We told him lunch, and I kidded him that it's not really going to be Star Wars and Lego, but that's okay. It is. Just don't tell him. He's back there practicing from the nativity play. But it's that kind of day, right? It's Advent, and we're all kind of in this season. Now, we should probably clear something up. It's not Advent simply because it's the first Sunday in December. And it's not Advent because it's the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. In fact, December doesn't really have anything to do with Advent. Yes, Advent actually comes based on when Christmas is, but very rarely, in fact, once out of every six, or for some of you mathematicians, you'd figure out with leap year, it's more than once out of every seven that it actually shows up, right? But it rarely actually falls on December 1st. It usually falls in November, actually, because Advent is the 4 weeks before Christmas. And it's the 4 weeks before Christmas, so it's based on Christmas, but Advent isn't even really a Christmas holiday. Even though we kind of celebrate it as a Christmas holiday, and we kind of celebrate it as 4 weeks kind of leading up to Christmas, that's not historically what it's been. In fact, if you look at the lectionary readings, if you're following the church calendar, many of the readings, especially the first 2 weeks, are not about Jesus, and they're not about Mary and Joseph, and they're not about Bethlehem. They're actually about John the Baptist, and they're about judgment, and they're about the fact that this world that we look around to is falling apart. Advent is in many ways awaiting and hastening in the coming of the King. Yes, it's about the second coming, or yes, it's about the birth of Jesus, but even more so, it's about the second coming of Jesus. Right, that time at the end of time when Judgment Day comes and everything gets kind of brought together. And Advent is about judgment in some ways. And quite frankly, we actually want judgment to happen in the world because we don't want people that just do whatever they want to do to get away with it. I recently came across a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye. You may not have heard of her before, and that's okay. She's actually in her 70s now. But she writes poetry, she writes children's books, she writes young adult fiction, she writes music. Basically, any genre that you can express your thoughts and feelings in, she writes. And she's won numerous awards over the years. She's contributed to over 30 books. She's actually a well-published poet. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to get to hear her in person, speak some of her, share some of her poetry, and also be interviewed. She's an amazing person, a very deep thinker, and because she's a poet, not just a deep thinker, but able to express her thoughts in words that really capture what she's thinking and make you really think about it. And so a couple of weeks ago, I came across a poem called Kindness that was originally published 30 years ago, but I just recently found it. And I can't quit thinking about it. I'd like to share it with you this morning. It's not very long. And I know sometimes, right, reading a poem is hard to just kind of go with. But if you would, kindness. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop, and the passengers eating mice and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. And you must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see sighs. And you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to gaze at bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow or a friend. Nye hits on this truth that I've kind of known in the back of my mind for many years, but I've never really been able to fully grasp. She puts into words something that I've felt for a long time, that you can't really understand kindness if you haven't understood what it's like to not have kindness. You can't really understand and appreciate the good that is happening in the world if you haven't also suffered through some of the bad and some of the pain. That somehow these two things have to be kind of contrasted with each other, the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. Let me see if I can share an example of what this might be like. Let's just pretend for just a moment. We're going to use our imaginations. Let's pretend for just a moment. Maybe I won the lottery or maybe the finance committee here went crazy, but we're going to give out $1,000 to every single person here today. All right, now, Chris last week gave out a yeast roll. We're up in the ante this week. We're giving out $1,000, okay? Now, remember, this is just imagination. This isn't real. The finance committee right now, they're like, who authorized him to get up and do this? This isn't really happening. But let's just pretend for a moment, right? That right now, as you're kind of sitting here, the elders and their wives are walking down the aisles and they're handing out envelopes to everybody. And it's not just $1,000 per family, it's $1,000 per person. So, you know, some of you are sitting there saying, I'm so glad I had 12 kids, right? And you're adding up all this money together. And you're sitting there and then they get to your row and you get the envelope and you open it up and you're like, wow, it really is $1,000. Like, you count it just to make sure. You're like, it's not just 980, it's 1,000, right? And you have your money and you're already starting to think about what you're going to do with it. Now, $1,000, right? If I was giving out $1,000 today, remember, this is just imagination, but if I'm giving out $1,000 today to everybody, you're all going to be pretty happy about that. Like, you're going to be like, I'm so glad I got up this morning and braved the cold to come to church today. I mean, like, this is a good day. I got rewarded, right? Finally, I got rewarded for going to church. And you're starting to think, like, all the things you can do with this $1,000. I mean, even if you have a lot of money, $1,000 is a good chunk, right? You can start thinking about, hey, you know what? I can buy some more Christmas presents tomorrow on Cyber Monday. Like, I can spend some of this. This is going to be good. Right, and when we're going out today, a lot of you are going to greet me in the lobby, and you're going to say, thank you for being so kind today, for giving us all $1,000. I mean, you thought a yeast roll was nice. I mean, $1,000, this is great. Someone might even offer to buy me a cup of coffee and a cookie, which would make me really happy. And it's just going to be a good day. But now imagine for a moment that not just are we giving out $1,000, but you're sitting here this morning, and it's December 1st, which means that your rent is due. And this past month hasn't necessarily been a great month. Your child got sick, and you had to go to the doctor, and you had to get some medicine. And that took some of your money away that you normally have saved up. And your car broke down, and you had to miss a couple of days of work. And so not only do you have a car repair, but you also missed work, so you didn't get paid as much as you normally do. And now it's December 1st. And a sick child and a broken down car and missing a few days of work, that starts to add up. And now here we are on December 1st, and it's time to pay the landlord. And for the last few days, you've been staying up at night, worried sick, because you honestly don't know where the money's going to come from. That the bills have just kind of stacked up, and you're not sure how you're going to make the payment today. And you're just hoping the landlord is going to have some mercy on you. You're just hoping they're going to give you a little more time. And you're really kind of too embarrassed or too prideful or whatever it is, because we're all in that situation. We don't really want to ask somebody else for help. We don't really want to admit to somebody, especially someone at church, that we somehow can't pay our bills. And so we're just sitting there. And even today, right, we came because it's Sunday, and you're supposed to go to church on Sunday, but even as we've been singing the songs about Silent Night and all of that and thinking about communion, you've been sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to pay the rent today? And what's going to happen, because it's going to get down in the 20s tonight, and my family might be out on the street. And then, all of a sudden, someone hands you $1,000. And you've been given a lifeline. You've been given a second chance. You have time to make the rent payment and a whole nother month to work extra and to save and to script to make sure you can get back on your feet again. Now, here's the deal. Anybody that I give $1,000 to today is going to be pretty happy. But if you've been desperate, if you've been losing sleep because you can't pay the rent and you don't know where your children are going to sleep, and all of a sudden, you're given $1,000. You might just appreciate it a little bit more than the rest of us. You see, what Nye is getting at is that sometimes, we appreciate kindness, not just because something nice was done for us, but we truly appreciate it because we know what it's like to try to do it all by ourselves and not be able to get it done. Those moments when you've been on the phone trying to fix a problem and everyone that you get sent to keeps passing you off to the next person and no one will actually listen to you to try to solve the problem, and all of a sudden you get the worker who listens and hears and makes sense and says, oh, I can fix that problem for you. You appreciate that last person a lot. When you've been struggling and you can't do all the things that you used to be able to do maybe around your house, and someone comes over, a neighbor or a friend from church, and they do something at your house without you even realizing it, and you come home to see it done, you appreciate kindness. when you've had sickness in your family, and you're just trying to get all the kids home from school and all their different things, and you haven't even thought about dinner, and you show up at home, and someone has brought you dinner to say, hey, I knew like life has been hard this week, and I just wanted to bring you some dinner tonight, and it's there. You appreciate kindness. Because sometimes we have to understand what it's like to not have, to really appreciate when we do. Now, I fully admit Nye's poem is not about Advent. It's not about Christmas. And in many ways, it doesn't actually help to advance our sermon today because it's not really about Advent and it's not really about Christmas. But what it does is it helps to illustrate a point that I think many of us suffer with because of Advent. Because we often look at Advent as just kind of this, let's rush off to Christmas and now we get to celebrate Christmas for 4 weeks instead of just one. You see, many of us grew up in traditions where we didn't study the historic church calendar. We didn't follow the historic church calendar. And so we had no idea that that season of Advent actually existed, right? Myself included. And so kind of understanding Advent, it's like, wow, we can do this. And then some of us, right? A lot of us. We grew up in churches of Christ, which I'm very thankful for. But if your upbringing was like my upbringing, then it's not just that we didn't celebrate Advent. Like, Christmas didn't have anything to do with church. My church growing up, we would have never invited Santa to come a couple of weeks early and take pictures with our kids because Santa's not in the Bible. And we didn't sing Christmas carols because there's not a command, example, or necessary inference of the first century Christians singing Christmas carols. And so we just stayed away from Christmas together. My grandfather, I love him to death, one of the greatest men of faith I've ever known, he didn't celebrate Christmas till the day he died because he thought, you're not supposed to do that in church. And so for those of us who grew up in that kind of understanding, right, which there's nothing wrong with, that was the understanding I grew up with, and I'm very thankful for my upbringing. But when we grow up with that, when we get introduced to Advent, then we just get excited because we get to sing Christmas carols on Sunday morning, and we get to put trees up here, and Santa's coming, and all kinds of fun things. But we rush into Christmas so quickly that we forget about Advent and what Advent's really about. That Advent isn't just about getting ready for baby Jesus to come. Advent is about waiting for the second coming of Christ and getting ourselves prepared. You see, if we don't know the church calendar, then we don't realize that last week was actually the feast day of Christ the King. It's the day where we celebrate that Jesus is Lord over all the earth. It's actually the last Sunday of the church calendar was last week. And you celebrate the Lordship of Jesus. And then you come to this week, the first week of Advent, which is the first week of the church calendar. It's the first week of the new year. And in this week, we start to look forward to the day when Christ will come back. The one that we celebrated last week as Lord over all the earth, this week we start thinking the only thing that's going to make the world right is Jesus coming as Lord. And you celebrate Advent getting ready for that moment. And sometimes we jump through the twinkling lights so quickly and we decorate the house so quickly and we get all excited so quickly that we forget this. And there's nothing wrong with decorating Christmas cookies. I love Christmas cookies. There's nothing wrong with getting presents. There's nothing wrong with trying to make sure you get to get with all your family and friends during Christmas. Because sometimes, frankly, we need a distraction. But if we're not careful, we jump to it too quickly and we miss the point. We can do that with our reading today if we're not careful. Hear the reading again from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. And we say, that's Christmas language. That's birth of Jesus language. The Davidic king is coming back. The Lord is making all things right. God is fulfilling all of the promises. Let's sing the songs, the Christmas carols, and start handing out the presents. Jesus is coming in the manger. And that's great. And if we haven't read Jeremiah anytime recently, then we get really excited about this passage. And my guess is most of us don't spend a whole lot of time in Jeremiah. We may not even know when Jeremiah actually was written and what was going on in the world. But if we know Jeremiah, then we realize exactly the kind of lifestyle he's living through. You see, Jeremiah lives during the time of what we call the Babylonian exile. Jeremiah is living in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar comes and lays siege to the city and eventually wipes it out. This is the destruction of the temple. This is when the Ark of the Covenant is gone. This is the time when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego get marched off to Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel goes that way as well during this time. Jeremiah is prophesying. And Jeremiah's task is to go to the king and to say, guess what, king? Your kingdom is about to be destroyed because you're a sinner. That's not exactly the message you want to say to your boss, right? This whole place is falling apart and you're the problem. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. In fact, Jeremiah 33, the very beginning of the chapter, is about judgment. It's about how God is coming to wipe out Israel and Jerusalem, and they're all going to get taken off. While Jeremiah is speaking this message, he's literally in the courtyard of the captain of the guard. Jeremiah is in prison. Nothing is going right. Jeremiah has seen the houses destroyed. He's seen his friends marched off to Babylon. He has witnessed the piles being, the piles of bodies being stacked on top of each other as one person after another dies and they can't dig the graves fast enough. Jeremiah sees everything that's going wrong. And he looks around. And he says, even in the midst of everything that could be wrong, that is going wrong, I still believe that God will fulfill his promises. I still believe that even in the moment of our greatest need, God is still in control. The righteous branch will come one day. The Lord is going to bring us home. He's going to bring us back. And we will celebrate together. And the place will be known as the Lord is our righteousness. See, it's one thing to hear the message of Jeremiah and say, that's great, baby Jesus is coming. It's a whole other thing to hear the message of Jeremiah in the midst of everything that's going wrong. And still say, I still believe that God is real. See, so often what we do with Advent is we rush right off to Christmas. And we enjoy the twinkling lights. And we enjoy the Christmas carols. And we enjoy the Christmas parties. And we rush right through the month. And we don't take time to hear the promise that's actually being given. That no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, there is hope. The King is coming back. There's hope. To the one in the room this morning who's getting ready to celebrate their first Christmas without their parent, or the wife who's getting ready to celebrate their first Christmas without their husband, there's hope. To the one in the room who is staring down a cancer diagnosis and is wondering if this might actually be their last Christmas, there's hope. To the marriage that's just trying to hold and just trying to make it through the Christmas season for the sake of the children, there's hope. For the family that because of work is getting ready to look at time apart, there's hope. To the individuals who are honestly questioning and wondering if their family members are about to be deported in the next few months, or if they might be deported in the next few months, and the life that they've developed here in Chattanooga might be gone, and the church family that they've grown to love in Chattanooga might be gone, there's hope. For the students who wonder as they go to school if one of their classmates might bring a gun, for the children who are wondering if their dad's ever coming home. To the couple dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. To the individual who's just wondering if they're going to have a job. There's hope. To all those of us who are tired of just going through the Christmas merry-go-round and looking at the candles and looking at the presents and looking at the twinkling lights, and you just are like, I can't do it this year. I'm just struggling. Because how in the world can I say there's a God in heaven when I look around me and everything has fallen apart? If there is truly a God in heaven, then why is there cancer? If there is truly a God in heaven, then why is there death? If there is truly a God in heaven, why do marriages struggle? If there is truly a God in heaven, why do people come to power who have no business being in power in a godly place? Why in the world, if there is a God in heaven, do these things happen? And you're just holding on this morning saying, I don't even know that I want to keep believing. The story of Advent is, there is hope. The Christ is coming. The King will reign on the throne. The promises of God have never been unfulfilled. The same God who spoke the world into existence, the same God who parted the waters of the Red Sea, the same God who brought Israel back from captivity, the same God who 2,000 years ago came to earth in the form of a child, the same God who rose from the grave victorious, that God is coming back. He reigns on the throne, and He is going to make all things right. So with that in mind, hear the words of Jeremiah one more time. There is hope. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. May the peace of the Lord God go with you wherever He may send you. May He guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May He bring you home rejoicing at the wonders He has shown you. May He bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May He give you peace. Amen.